This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 25th of January, 1954. The title of this lecture is Basic Data on 8O, OT. This lecture is 30 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay. Now, you've taken a little step into SOP 8.0. The elements which we're using are the elements of livingness as before. We have not changed these elements just because we've changed a process. What we've done essentially is move over from processes which will audit the thetan plus body without damage to either, and with good advance, to processes which could kill a body and will boost the thetan right on up the line. So you get the essential difference here. Essential difference between what we have been doing and 8.0. It's the step from being perfectly willing to judge to hell with it. It's the step from being part and parcel to Homo sapiens and dependent upon him and so on, with this large mass of attention units which get picked up off the meshed universe and recongealed by a bunch of cells and reworked by some other cells that ate the first cells and reworked by some other cells that ate those cells and reworked again and eaten at the steakhouse by you and as a body, and then you as a thetan rework the body. It's a very interesting merry-go-round, but that's essentially what it is. You're on the blue horse, but you're in Homo sapiens' boots. Now you try to do anything with Homo sapiens, you get your teeth kicked out. That's about the best that can be said. The excellent reason is he has only one crime: communication. There's only one crime: communication. You have a society utterly imbalanced and therefore going down spiral constantly until a new society raises and grows itself upon the dung heaps of the old society, which is about what happens, because there's only one sin: the sin of commission. The sin of omission never enters. It can exist in theory, but it never exists in fact. And if it does, it's some very peculiar thing. Police officers out here on the street, criminal dashes out of a building having just robbed it. For about 30 seconds, the police officer has a perfect shot at the criminal. Perfect shot. He could drop him. He doesn't. The criminal goes on, gets into a car, careens on through the town, breaks all the speed laws, and finally hits a car with a family in it and kills everybody in it. Bing. This is rather routine in this society. I'm not talking about anything now that would even make front pages. The police officer has actually committed a crime by omitting to shoot a criminal. And that is a sin of omission. And these are not punishable. The criminal comes out of the building for 30 seconds. The police officer has a fleeting opportunity to fire. Although many other people are around, he draws his pistol, he shoots. He shoots inaccurately. He hits a pedestrian. Regardless of what happens to the criminal, that police officer's going to pay. He's at least going to lose his badge. Now you see, two different crimes. The only crime is to communicate in this society. It takes actually more than you will ever know to communicate anything in this society over a broad level. All right. The only crime as a thetan quite the reverse. If he's going to enter into action, liveness, beingness, or any part of the game, he dies in ratio that he fails to communicate. His are only sins of omission. But as he teams up and gets into conflict with other beingnesses, sins of commission begin to creep in little by little, until at last sins of commission are everything. But by that time, the thetan has become a body. So you have a gradient scale of crime, and the upper scale is for the thetan is a scale of omission. He didn't emit. He didn't communicate. In some of your very, very high operating societies, at their very earliest, it's remarkable the amount of force and vindictiveness leveled at an individual guilty of a sin of omission. And yet Marshall and King, Nimitz, and FDR himself could omit the message which would have saved the lives of a great many men and an entire fleet. They were all at a party. And nobody rose up in this society to lynch them. Well, just one of them things. That's a symptom of apathy. A sin of omission, when not punished, when a society passes by a sin of omission, on a large scale, it goes there afterwards into its own swan song. I'm not just rolling up the wheels of doom here. They well knew that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked. Japanese submarine had been sunk outside the entrance. Russian intelligence had already told them the exact moment that the attack would take place. They knew their admiral there and their general were completely disarmed and all their men were on liberty. They knew all these conditions existed and they did nothing about it. And yet, Frankie kept on being president and Marshall rose to the highest ranks that we have ever given any general. Fascinating, isn't it? Sin of omission. Well, on a much lower scale, this thetan decided he wouldn't broadcast. He decided he wouldn't do this or he wouldn't do that. He'd hold up his communications. And so that, at that level, caused him to deny himself. See, he restrained his own communications. The restraint of one's own communication is the first step into being bombarded by the messed universe. One has to restrain one's outgoing communication to make the first ridge that can be hit by incoming particles. And so it begins with a sin of omission, not with a sin of commission. Now, as we go downscale, we find out at length that he is only punished when he can be targeted. He can only be targeted when he communicates. He gets way that far down. Of course, these two things go hand in glove all the way down the line, because where you have outflow, you have inflow. But in a society such as this, an individual who communicates broadly is going to be punished. That's all there is to it. I mean, there is no ifs, ands, nor buts about it. No question about it. He's going to meet with ridicule, rebuff, if not more serious punishments. Anyone who has tried to help a decadent race normally gets into very serious trouble. It is so antipathetic to an operating thetan to help broadly, since he himself does not see why people can't fish themselves out of it. This becomes rather silly to him. That I am afraid the goal which we first set out upon has been exceeded. You have to get a man to take trouble seriously before he will assist with trouble. One of your first definitions of an operating Phaeton is he doesn't take trouble seriously. Remarkable, isn't it? So we have to hit it in this sort of a twilight band. We get up a certain line. We have to hit it at a certain level. We have to make certain teachings available at certain levels. Otherwise, nothing will happen. Well, now, what's our problem? Our problem, as I sit here, was the salvation of the human race. I'm afraid that it would have to be undertaken a little bit differently, maybe more or less the same way. But it would certainly be in terms of group of people fishing themselves out and hitting the upper echelons, group by group, level by level. Wouldn't be possible on a crusade of thee or me going out and holding up a bright torch and sweeping everybody into a big stampede and a rah-rah. No, you can enter the problem that way so as to attract and shock enough attention into being so as to get your first entrance point. But you can't continue the campaign in that fashion. This doesn't campaign that way. So you find yourself to a large degree exceeding your own goals every time you try to save the whole human race at one fell swoop. You can make slaves out of things which punish communication, or you can rescue them piecemeal. And the second that you threw signs and wonders before Homo sapiens existed today, his terror would be so great. You don't maybe believe this, but his terror would actually be so great that he would drop automatically into a bracket of slavery from which it would be almost impossible to dig him. It would be a ridge that would be an awful big ridge. You'd have to be able to monitor every television broadcast station in the United States. You'd have to be able to muzzle every news agency. You'd have to be in a position to take over the church at Rome instantly and immediately, as well as the Baptists, the Methodists, and all the rest of them. Because everybody'd be on that bandwagon, they'd be on it quick. There's been signs and wonders, the beginning of the world is now the end of the world, and drop a nickel on the box and get saved, fella. You're a slave, repent, repent, the kingdom of heaven is going to cave in on you at any moment. And that wasn't the message that was given to them at all. See that? Same way with your preclear. You start working him at first, and he doesn't see that he's going to do very much about it. He sort of waits for you to do something about it. Why? He can't communicate. He'll be punished for communicating. He knows that. First thing he knows is that if he puts out a particle, he'll get slapped. So here he goes. You tell him to be 3 feet back of your head. That's putting out a particle. He's putting out his whole body as a particle. Well, he does so with some misgiving. From there on up, it's actually coaxing him to communicate. Coaxing him into a willingness to give beingness and life to anything around him. He's educated as he goes down toward death into not giving life. As a society goes down toward death, it's more and more educated into not giving life. It's more and more educated into believing that its corn and games will come from somebody else, just as your preclear is educated into believing that anything is going to happen to him, it's going to happen because you're going to wave a magic cross in the air or something of the sort. Fortunately, we have processes such as HC which tend to wave a magic cross in the air. It's utterly mysterious to some of these people. You say to them, all right, give me three people you're not. Now, all of a sudden, line charge and feel better. You say, now give me three places where the condition is not, and they immediately feel a great deal better. you should watch this work in an emergency ward of a hospital. Well, it's kind of like waving a magic cross in the air. They don't really know what's happening to them. Well, all of our problem is a problem of communication until it gets into a problem of pure pervasive knowingness. And an individual knows that he knows simply because all of the things he knows are wrapped up in symbols. So he's got to unwrap what he knows. Now, across the boards, you as an auditor are confronted at all times with a communication lag. The lag should continue to decrease. If the lag does not decrease, your preclear is not going upscale swiftly. Where is the communication lag decreasing to? It's decreasing to operating theta. It's decreasing to zero meshed universe time interval. Okay. Just to tell you exactly where to start in processing a person who has been exteriorized, where it's just a little bit difficult, but you can take 8C and you can write straight on through 8C and you can do an awful lot with 8C. It won't get the individual up, however, to operating theta. I gave you the various factors that come in with that. Until we can endow with life, you're not liable to get an individual disendowing things with life. Therefore, he's committed to every course of action he has ever taken. Until he ceases to be committed to every course of action he's ever taken, he's not entirely free. Of course, it's not desirable on your part as an auditor to disassociate him and get him to disendow every course of action which he ever undertook. That's a frightening thing to ask a man to do. But certainly his skills are manifest in that direction. Now, there's several PAP processes. You notice that change of space processing has not been featured very greatly in SOPHC. That's because change of space processing can be very, very dangerous to a case 5. It can make a case 5 very ill. You process somebody on change of space while he's still in his body, and the consequences of it can be much too great for him to stand up to. I'd like to underscore that. Don't use change of space processing on a group unless you're willing to bail out individual members of the group, and don't use it on just a group of people that know nothing about auditing because they won't be able to bail each other out. Change of space auditing is a very powerful technique because it in itself manufactures power. It is letting the individual be two different terminals in two different places if conducted properly. And it actually will generate energy. And if a case is very low down, he has a lot of terminals that can go into action. Believe me, the second he starts to generate a little energy, they go into action. They don't waste any time going into action either. Now, all of our auditing up to this time has been more or less scheduled on trying to stabilize somebody outside and turning his perception on. Let's take up this problem perception. We find the problem perception is the willingness to perceive, which is the willingness to let particles come in on him. That's a problem of perception. It is a problem of resisting energy. You have to resist energy to have it stop someplace so that you can see it. See that? And that's a problem of perception. So outgoing and incoming energy lines make themselves perception and communication. Therefore, an individual has to be able to exteriorize from these piled up masses of perception. Difference between a 5 and a 1 is the 1 isn't sitting back of piled up masses of perception, the 5 is. It's such a simple difference when really brought down to cases. So, an individual has to be able to exteriorize readily from anything he gets into, and has to know that he can do it. So this becomes very important. Therefore, and only then, is he willing to perceive. If he can't exteriorize from this mass of particles which keep piling up on him, then he gets very leery about looking. He doesn't want to look. Lookingness to him is something he would not like to have anything to do with. So he uses facsimiles. He lets pieces of energy that he puts way out stop the particles as they come in, and then he selectively brings in the particles toward him and inspects them. And he gets a covert lookingness. Now, many a Thetan exteriorized hasn't even vaguely seen present time. That's very, very reasonable why he hasn't. You see that? He just can't stand the particles hitting him, that's all. So he goes a little bit into the past and picks up some facsimiles and substitutes those for the walls. And out of this mass of substitution and all that sort of thing, he gets a jumble perception picture. Well, that's one of the first things you have to clear up with the individual. And that's done by curing him of resisting interiorization. He has to be able to interiorize at will. If he can, he can perceive. Do you see that? It's no accident that a Thetan pops into a body and sees better, or more accurately, or with greater definition. See, that's no accident. It's just the fact that he's interiorized, and so he's looking. He's willing to look if he's interiorized, and he's not willing to look if he's not interiorized, and the body's made him be interiorized, so he doesn't have any responsibility for that, so there he is, so he can see. Now, a Thetan, operating Thetan, can be made to construct a globe around himself and let all the photons hit the globe and then look at the pictures on the globe. Cute. Or he can put out remote viewpoints, and he can let the particles hit these remote viewpoints, and he can blow them up. There's nothing much to this problem. It's one of those elementary damn things that people flounder around and put deep significances in and so forth. If a guy isn't willing to be hit as a Thetan, he isn't willing to see, because seeing is actually based upon willingness to be hit by particles. So if he's defending and fending off from him all the time, he doesn't see. A man's resistance to his environment and his perception of the environment are the same curve. You could take, I dare say, individuals in some very dangerous environments in a body, you know, just pick up the guy and cart him over into some very dangerous environment and then take him out of the environment and ask him what he saw. No, he's liable to have seen anything, giraffes or hoodoo birds. He won't tell you what he saw because he didn't look. Well, let's take your preclear right here, sitting in the room. He thinks he's in such a dangerous environment, see? Here he can't tell you what's in the room. Now you take a Thetan out of the body, and he shifts around in some environment, and here he goes. See that? He's can't see in this environment, and he can't see in some other environment. But he can see facsimiles that he just made. And he's liable to do something like this. He makes a facsimile of something and then takes a look at it. Well, that's safe, isn't it? Nothing can hurt the facsimile. Well, the funny part of it is things can hurt the facsimile. That is to say, it can be damaged, but nothing can hurt him, so long as he's able to exteriorize at will. So the problem of resistance to inflow becomes the problem of creating an operating Thetan. Resistance to inflow is also, of course, coupled with the problem of resistance to outflow. Fellow has to be able to communicate and catch communications, in other words. Simple. When he can do this entirely, he's an operating Thetan. That's what all is to it. All the other things go along with it. Now, one of the things which is curious in all this is imagination. The imaginative power of the individual deteriorates to the degree that he lends his imagery to the making up of symbols which remind him to remember. Imagination could be considered as a sort of a box full of stuff that is invested grain by grain into serious and set identifications. If you had a big box and it was labeled imagination, and that had a finite quantity in it, it would be emptied by investing little bricks out of that box into fixed identities. Imagination is essentially a quality of unfixed identification. It is the potential and the ability to fix ideas rather than to retain fixed ideas. Memory is that quality which retains fixed ideas. So imagination goes down and memory banks build up. And as an individual is impeded from continuing to imagine, he is continually losing the only thing which will give him an eventual memory. By this graph. That isn't really true, but it's by this graph. You see? So you could say that a little kid is taken who is all imagination, and this ability to imagine is pinned down in facts by education and so forth, until he at length is fresh out of fuel. Only there is no fuel there. It is simply an ability, and that ability is discouraged. It's discouraged by not permitting him to communicate. How do you make a GE? It would be making him invest all of his imaginative qualities into a fixed idea, an identity and an identification. And that's how you'd make a GE. And of course, at the end of that, he'd be totally unwilling to communicate because the only thing it can communicate is an imagination. There isn't anything else can communicate but an imagination. And an imagination has to be at C in order to arrive at E. It's all very well for you to say, well, by definition, communication, a particle can leave the sun and arrive on Earth. It has been sent from the sun and arrives on Earth. Yes, that's perfectly true if you have imagination enough to perceive it. That's perfectly true. If you don't have imagination enough to perceive it, you're not going to perceive anything. See that? Because the particle from the sun never perceives the particle from the sun. So, let's get our operating thetan started simply by getting him to interiorize into and exteriorize out of the doggondest things of his own and others' constructions and in the messed universe, until he's so doggone sure that he can exteriorize and interiorize and get out of anything and plaster himself up and make himself forget everything and make himself knock himself on the head and still forget everything and still get himself out of it, that he has a perfect security about his own ability to perceive. And when he has a total security of perception, he will come into the inheritance of his ability to know. That, according to what I have been doing with free clears, follows evidently a very natural pattern. As long as he has a residual feeling that he should stop knowing in terms of gathering data, he has trouble. If I today used the English language word by word, you would not be able to tell what I was saying. I seriously doubt that I remember any part of the English language 1 minute to the next. Therefore, I continue to be able to use the English language. No other reason for it. How do you make an operating thing? Getting to interiorize and exteriorize at will. Easy, huh? You can do it in mock-up. You can do it in all kinds of ways. The plan of operation is actually lying right straight before you. You won't look at it to the degree that you want it to be complicated. You think it shouldn't be so simple. But it is just that simple. Okay?